This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, to help me understand the headlines. Fog of war, not just in Gaza, but also in the north of Israel, throughout the Middle East these last hours and days. For example, Blinken, that's the Secretary of State, Blinken says Hamas' reaction to Gaza ceasefire resolution is, quote, a hopeful sign. At the same time, 50 rockets fired at northern Israel after the IDF struck Hezbollah site deep in Lebanon. Sirens sound in Haifa, that's the north of Israel, after interceptor mistakenly fired. IDF names 4 soldiers killed in Gaza. That's from the north. But Gaza now, we move to Blinken, Emirati counterpart, discussed ceasefire proposal on sidelines of donor confab in Jordan. The UN is endorsing the U.S. ceasefire plan. However, it requires a voice from the Hamas side to speak out. And as of yet, I do not see a voice. So I welcome Jonathan to help me interpret these frantic headlines about a ceasefire. Jonathan, what do we know about the ceasefire that Israel has agreed to? What would it look like going forward if it happens? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, it's actually old wine in a new bottle. This is the same ceasefire proposal that the president put forth from Washington a week and a half or so ago. Basically, what he's calling for is for the war to end, for the hostages to be released, for an unspecified number of Palestinian prisoners who are in jail for terrorist acts, for some of them to be released. And then essentially what he's saying is that Hamas will remain in power, that it will not be finished off, which is, of course, what the Israeli war aim has been and continues to be in Gaza. And so there is, I would say, some frustration on the part of the Israeli on the Israeli side. When we talk about Israeli cooperation or collaboration with this plan, I don't know if we have a full understanding as to whether this was approved by, for example, Benny Gantz, who has just left the war cabinet, who decided to quit the war cabinet. He's no longer part of that triumvirate making decisions about the war, or whether it was Bibi himself, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Netanyahu is really caught between a rock and a hard place right now, because his right-of-center coalition members don't want him to make any kind of a deal that would allow for Hamas to remain in place, and he has vowed that he will not do so. But nevertheless, this has now been tabled at the UN Security Council. The UN has approved it, and the pressure is growing on Israel. And Hamas, you can see by their reaction, they're quite pleased with this, because what they now see is that the U.S. is throwing them a lifeline, that they do not have to face its full dismantlement, which is what they, you know, that's what everyone's been talking about up until this point. Over the last couple of weeks, that's all changed. So some frustration, I think, on the Israeli side, but I do think it's not a foregone conclusion that this moves forward, because, of course, it would require Hamas to be forthcoming about the number of hostages that are still alive and to be willing to hand over those hostages. In fact, probably some that have also died over the last 8 months. So there is pressure on Hamas, but I think more pressure is being placed on Israel right now.
The hostage rescue was a high point that has not been matched, to my understanding, since the beginning of the war. And it was to celebrate. But at the same time, it introduces a reporting by the Wall Street Journal that's important to explicate, Jonathan. The hostage rescue taking place in a very crowded part of Gaza where families were living on all edges was designed, practiced to be an extraction without any gunfire whatsoever. When it became obvious that there was a rescue underway, Hamas fighters, we believe, were opening fire in conditions that guaranteed that civilians would be hit by collateral fire. Guaranteed. What is the significance of that? We have reporting from the Wall Street Journal that Yahya Sinwar, the Hamas boss, counts on civilian casualties to advance his cause. The man clearly states in a fashion that is not rational that those are sacrifices, so that the thousands that are said to have died in these 8 months of war are part of war planning by Hamas. Jonathan, who is Yahya Sinwar? Where did he come from? What does he represent?
Sure. Well, Yahya Sinwar is actually the man that launched this entire war. For a few years leading up to 10/7, he had been conveying messages directly and indirectly to the Israelis that he was more interested in providing services and opportunities to the people of Gaza, that Hamas was more interested in stoking unrest in the West Bank, and that Gaza promised to be something more stable than it had been. And as we now know, the Israelis succumbed to what was a long and complex information operation, and they began to buy what he was selling, and they began to let down their guard along the Gaza border. And we know what happened after that. The slaughter of 10/7 has yielded now this 8 month war that has just led to utter devastation in Gaza. The revelations by the Wall Street Journal are fascinating because it would appear that Yahya Sinwar has welcomed this, that he actually welcomes the destruction and the bloodshed that we have seen in Gaza because he thinks it ultimately benefits the Palestinian cause, that he thinks that this helps. And he's probably not wrong when you look at the kinds of reactions that we've seen from the public, from the pro-Hamas advocates here in the United States and around the world, the outrage that has been directed toward Israel for the crime of defending itself is exactly, I think, what Sinwar had in mind. And certainly that extraction that you mentioned where four Israeli hostages were saved by the IDF is a case in point where you see across our media, across the international system, at the EU, officials in the U.S. government all raising questions as to whether it was justified for Israel to return fire when it was being fired upon while saving four hostages that were taken unlawfully on 10/7. You cannot make up a more Orwellian script than what is now playing out here in the United States and around the world. But this is exactly what Sinwar had in mind, I believe, when this whole thing started. And I do believe that this Wall Street Journal reporting is rather instructive in that regard.
So human shields is part of the war plan of Hamas and its kindred of Cain. Human shields. That is a war effort on their parts, correct, Jonathan?
It is. That is their strategy, and it is a war crime. It has been so designated by the United States, by NATO, by the UN. These are when you start firing from within civilian populations. By the way, when you hold hostages in densely populated civilian areas, you are inviting military activity onto your doorstep. And that's exactly what Hamas has been doing. The use of hospitals as command centers, which we now know is a common practice. The tunnels that exist below ground under very populated, densely populated civilian areas. All of these things are war crimes. And what is amazing is that we don't see condemnation of this day in and day out, the way we see condemnation of Israel specifically for its actions in its defensive war. This is a war that Israel neither wanted nor started. And I will also just give you a warning that if and when we see a war break out in the north on Israel's northern border with Lebanon, Hezbollah does much of the same. Tunnels beneath densely populated areas, command centers in hospitals, and there are many more medical facilities throughout Lebanon. It's roughly twice the population of Gaza, and I think more than three times the size. And so you're going to see a lot more of this if the war does widen. And Israel is really being put in an impossible situation where they are committed to recovering their own people who've been held against their will for 8 months, and they're committed to defending the 10 million civilians in Israel that have been under fire by these groups. And when they respond, that's when the condemnation comes. And it is truly a wild moment to see that there is such a coordinated campaign. Again, international organizations, civil society groups here in the United States, the media, the general public, all coming together to condemn Israel for the crime of trying to get back citizens that were taken against their will 8 months ago. Just truly remarkable to watch.
I'm speaking with Jonathan Schanzer, Vice President of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. We're going north, and as we go north, we're anticipating a conflict that's going to require a lot of politics from Washington and Jerusalem in these next weeks. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.